Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Greetings, everyone, to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
I got to tell you, Bev, how do you love these cool autumn temperatures?
Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful. I did have to go out and cover some plants last night and almost forgot to uncover them this morning because I'm not used to doing that.
But yeah.
I want them to last. The beauty of these begonias and patience lasts a little bit longer. So I do it for my baby plants.
Yeah. Well, here it is. It's Thursday afternoon, October 17th, 2024. We are recording a Meet the People of MCB. And I tell you what, when I woke up this morning, it was like 30 degrees outside. So, I've been telling people, boy, you better wear your jammies tonight or get that electric blanket out. It's going to get cool. So, I love this time of the year, though. I love the fall. I really do. That's probably one of my favorite times of the year. Do you have a favorite time of the year?
You know, I like the spring when all the newness, the plants and the flowers are coming up and things are budding, all the newness and baby birds chirping. So I like the spring, but the sense of the fall, pumpkin and spice, apple butter.
I think that's what I like about the fall. It's the beginning of, you know, different fall festivities. Like you just said, you've got Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all that stuff's in there, you know? So it just makes it so extra special. Plus, it's the beginning of football season. So high school football, college, NFL, all that stuff. And then you've got, of course, you got Major League Baseball, you know, teams battling to get to the World Series and all that kind of stuff. So I just love this time of the year.
Yes, and I got to say, yesterday I went with the Historical Society to Kimmswick, Missouri. If you haven't been to Kimmswick, it's on the Mississippi River, neatest little town, only 133 people there, but they've got log cabins preserved and dinosaur museum. I didn't think I was ever into dinosaurs, but I held a dinosaur tooth yesterday.
Oh, wow. So
it was pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like it was.
In a couple weeks, they'll have their apple butter festival. So you can imagine what the smells are going to be like in that little town.
Yeah.
But they said about 100,000 people attend that. So,
okay.
Yeah, it was really cool. I'm glad I got the chance to do that.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Sounds very interesting. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to bring on at this time our very special guest. I'm glad that she graciously consented to being our guest here today on Meet the People of MCB. So without any further delay, I'm going to bring on our guest, Jennifer Motes. Jennifer, welcome to Meet the People of MCB.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet. Well, Jennifer, as we discussed before we began the recording, that we like to start off talking about the person that we're interviewing, about their vision loss. So that's where we will begin today. So share with us, Jennifer, the cause or result of your vision loss.
Sure. So I have what is called diabetic retinopathy. So it's bleeding blood vessels in the back of your eyes. And I didn't find out that I had diabetes until 5 years ago, but the damage is about 15, 20 years worth of damage. So I started just losing my vision because of it. And not only that, but I don't know, most people don't know this, but it's on the 21st will be my first year kidney anniversary. I had a kidney transplant as well last year. And then also I had a heart attack. So I've just had a lot of losses within the last year and a half. I was able to see until about a year and a half ago.
So, would you consider yourself low vision? Do you have any residual vision remaining?
I do. So in my right eye, I'm completely blind. There's nothing there. After I had detached retinas, my right eye never recovered, and my left eye is 20/100. I do use a cane, but it's more to be able to know how close or far away things are. So
Okay,
it's
so
pretty blurry.
yeah, so then you would consider yourself in that one either a low vision.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. So how old were you when you first began to notice a change in your eyesight?
Well, I'm 41, so I was 39.
Okay. All
I
right.
could I was driving and doing normal stuff until about a year and a half ago.
Okay, yeah. So I guess when that began, I guess it was pretty frightening, pretty scary for you.
Yeah, I would say it's still a little frightening and scary, but yes.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for sharing that with us. We do appreciate it so much. And as we said, Jennifer, some of the questions that we ask, it gives people an opportunity to get to know you really close and up front. So I know that's really personal, but we do appreciate you sharing that with us. Jennifer, do you live alone?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, I was just going to say I try to keep as much independence as possible.
Okay.
In saying I live alone, I do also have someone who comes 3 days a week to help me out with things so that I can live alone.
Oh, okay. All right. So, do you have brothers, sisters, parents still living?
Yes, I have three brothers, one sister. I don't, my mom, she passed away 2 years ago, and I've never met my dad.
Oh, okay. All right. So, this diabetic thing that you have going on there, diabetic retinopathy, is that hereditary?
It's not, I'm the only one in my family that has it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And
But
you're.
in saying that, I've never met my dad, so I'm basing it on my mom's side of the family.
Okay. All right. And your three brothers and one sister that you mentioned, do they live nearby?
They one of them lives here in Columbia, Missouri, and the rest live, further away.
Okay. So how long have you been there in Columbia, Missouri?
I've been here in Columbia for a month. I've been in Missouri altogether about 3 months. I came from Peoria, Illinois, where I had my transplant
Oh, okay. And how long did you live there?
for about a year. I was in Missouri before that for grad school.
Yeah, so where did you actually call home? As you know, when you growing up, your childhood years and into your adult years. So where was home for you?
Right. So Peoria, Illinois is where I was born and raised.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. Okay. So then you moved to Missouri. Why Missouri? I mean, was there a reason that you moved to Columbia? Was there some reason?
Yeah, I moved back to Missouri just to be closer to family after having vision loss, a heart attack, and kidney transplant, just to make memories and, live life to the fullest and make sure that everybody is able to spend time with me and have those memories with me just as much as I want to have them with them.
Yeah. Okay. And I trust there were no residual effects from the heart attack.
No, I ended up getting three stents. I have four blockages with three stents, and I feel a lot better,
Oh,
100%
cool.
actually.
Yeah.
Can breathe a lot better, and
Yeah, good.
yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Very good. Yeah. I tell you, when you said when you just mentioned your age at 41 and then what you've had to go through physically, especially with a heart attack, I'm like, you're just too young, but you never
Yeah.
know about a heart attack. I mean, there's no age limit to, what a person has to be to sustain a heart attack. So, yeah, I my heart just goes out to you. I'm really sorry that you've had to experience so much in a short period of time there. You've been found out that you are diabetic and with your vision loss and a heart attack. I mean, that's quite a bit to have to undergo.
Pretty much sums it up.
Yep. Okay. Well, I know Bev is just chomping at the bits to ask her questions, and she's just sitting over there twiddling her thumbs. So I'm going to pass it over to Bev.
Yes, I was so excited when I saw Jennifer's name and phone number, area code 309, because that's the area where I moved here from in Illinois. So we found out Peoria, and I was in the hospital, St. Francis Children's Hospital, when I first came down with Stevens-Johnson syndrome that led to my blindness. So we've got some things in common. And she drove before, so driving, Jennifer, it's hard to give up, isn't it?
Yes, very hard.
Well, when I
Yeah.
hit the cow, I thought, probably a good time to give this up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never hit a cow, so that's
Well, when I came to Missouri, I was with my daughter when coming back from Illinois, and north of Quincy, we're driving on those back roads, and she hit a deer. And man, that was the first accident I've ever been in after being blind. You have no idea what just happened. And when she told me, I thought, okay, I've got another daughter. Don't go to Wyoming and hit a buffalo or something, you know? Yeah, but giving up the driving, I think that's a lot of times, especially people that have got macular degeneration and they're just so used to that independence and trying to give up driving. It's tough. Is the transportation tough there in Colombia, or are you working that out?
I feel like just because I'm a social worker, it's easy to find the resources, but at the same time, I definitely feel like just losing your ability to drive in general creates a different dynamic for your life in terms of feeling like you can't, that independence is gone. You can't just get up and go when you want to go somewhere, or just the not necessarily that. I feel like my friends would be mean or anything, but I don't like asking. So like if I want to go to the movies or go somewhere, I don't necessarily think in my head, oh, call this friend or that friend. I just go, oh, that's not going to happen. And so just that humility of asking is hard.
Yeah, and we miss out on some things because of that too, like we were talking earlier about these festivals that are going on and information that's meetings and stuff, and I just want to go without depending on other people. But I have found so many friends are so gracious about it, and I've told them, if you don't want to go, let me know, because I'd rather you tell me no than feel like, oh, I gotta take Bev.
Right.
So I totally understand that. And so you work as a social worker. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. So in 2019, I graduated with my master's degree in social work from Park University in Parkville, Missouri. I was working at Kansas City Shepherd Center, which is an agency for older adults 65 plus, developing a social work program there. But once I started losing my vision, I had to stop driving, and my job was about 40 minutes away. And if you know anything about Ubers, it just didn't make sense to pay $50, $60 a day just to get to work. So I had to quit that. And then also just the dynamics of being on the computer doing therapy notes and different things that I couldn't even really see very well. So I stopped doing that. I was also working on my doctorate degree at the time for program development, and I had to stop all of that due to health reasons. And so I was kind of bummed about it, but if I don't know, I guess it's since it's getting to know me, I would say I'm pretty resilient and I don't quit easily. So I just had to think to myself, you can still be a social worker, it's just going to look different. And so I started just looking at different options in terms of like it being easier with the barrier of transportation to find work, and I decided to get my licensure as a drug and alcohol counselor. So that's what I'm doing now, is finishing my licensure classes, and I'll be done in May, and I'll be a licensed drug and alcohol counselor. So I will have my license in social work and be able to do counseling with a specialty in drug and alcohol counseling. And there's a lot of jobs online for like telehealth and psychoeducational classes that I'm looking into. So it will be a lot easier to be able to be employed having a visual impairment.
Wow, I'm impressed. I am so impressed. You go,
thank
girl.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That is wonderful. Aren't you, Chip?
Oh,
she
you
is
bet.
Such a go-getter.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I love the independence that you're talking about, too, because I live alone, Jennifer, and you just do what needs to be done. And people say, how do you do that? And I said, if there's a will, there's a way. You know,
right.
The only thing, don't put me behind the steering wheel, which a friend did one time with their Tesla car. And I was feeling around in the driver's seat. First time I've been in the driver's seat since I lost my sight. And with his phone, his app, he made it move forward. Oh, my gosh, scared the heebie-jeebies out of me.
Right.
But who knows? Maybe someday we will be driving.
And right.
Yeah, so we have got to stay in touch. I love talking to you, Jennifer.
Oh, of course.
Would you rather be called Jennifer or you, Jen, Jenny?
I'm okay with Jennifer or Jen.
Are you? Okay. Okay. What did your mother call you when you were in trouble?
Jennifer Marie. I was pretty good, so I didn't hear it very much.
That's what I was going to say. You were never in trouble, were you? Oh, I'm glad you're there with family, too. And Columbia is a very nice town. If I had to choose someplace else than where I live now, I think it would be Columbia.
Yeah, I was telling somebody that from Illinois, that Columbia is a really nice city. And even the healthcare here, I really like.
Oh, good, good, good.
A great reason to be here, yeah.
Yes, and you know, I don't know if it would help anything with any connections, but a dear friend of mine, her daughter is a pediatric ophthalmologist there in Columbia, and her husband does research too with the university there. So I know she is just swamped with work too. So
right.
It is a great area with the medical field too, besides the football team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Chip, there's your clue or cue to jump in with football.
So, Jennifer, tell us, you're talking about you're still pursuing your education. Are you getting assistance from rehabilitation, if I can say it, rehabilitation services for the blind?
I'm not at the moment. I did reach out to them, though, to help with the JAWS system. So I can use that once I graduate to work online. But I actually am getting help with a grant through my school because I don't know, drug and alcohol counseling, it's a very tough field. And not only that, but a lot of people don't want to do it because it is tough on you emotionally, as well as just, you know, obviously sometimes just frustrating when you want the best for people, but they don't necessarily want that, or it just takes a lot longer for it to happen. And so you definitely have to have patience and that compassion that are married together when you're working with drug addiction. And so they actually, I mean, I know it sounds funny, but they pay people to get licensed. So that's another good thing about it, is if you have your master's degree and you want to get a license as a master's level drug and alcohol counselor, you can get paid. They'll pay your tuition to get licensed, as well as they pay for the licensure exam.
Okay, very, very good. Now you mentioned Jaws. I'm wondering if you had Fusion, which is a combination of both Zoom Text and Jaws, or do you just have Jaws?
So I don't have Jaws yet. I use pretty much everything else, like AI. I use the NVD. What is it called? Oh my goodness, I'm going blank right now. But it's the system that the three blind
Oh.
guys created that would be free for everyone to use.
Okay,
Is it
well,
NVDA? I might be saying it wrong.
now in NVIDIA you would be correct. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, so I use that as well as just the accessibility features on my actual computer.
Okay, yeah, well, excellent. Excellent. So, have you found it
We've got some resources for her, don't we, Chip?
you bet. So,
Yes.
Jennifer, have you
Send them my
found it?
way.
Oh, yeah. So, Jennifer, do you find it challenging? Continuing with your education now, having a visual impairment?
I do. It's definitely a lot tougher. It takes longer, that's for sure. When you're making PowerPoints or getting ready for presentations, you have to check your work probably 3 times more than if you could see it, because you're just voicing and then you have to like zoom in and then make sure everything's correct. And then also presentations in general, I'm used to just, memorizing my notes, and if I can't, just having them in front of me where no one can see that I have them and presenting, and now I have to have a magnifier and have my paper right there. So it's definitely different and harder. I don't know if it's harder altogether or just for my ego.
Yeah. And so I'm curious. I mean, now you're using a software program called NVDA and other types of accessibility devices, whatever. How has that been for you to, depend more on your hearing than on your eyesight?
It's a little tough because I'm definitely a visual learner, but you have to adapt and learn different ways. So, yeah, I'm getting there.
Oh, okay. And then also you mentioned AI, which is, man, it's amazing what they're doing with AI these days. And
Yes.
it's just rapidly doing all different kinds of things. We just recently learned that they partner now with Be My Eyes, so that's really going to be great. Do you have an iPhone or Android?
I have an Android.
Oh, okay. So, and you have AI. You have that on your phone as well.
Yes, as
Oh,
well
okay.
as Be My Eyes.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Excellent. So, how have you? I know you just been there in Colombia for just a very brief and short time. How have you been able to acclimate yourself to Colombia, as someone who is blind or visually impaired? In other words, I know you mentioned you have an individual that comes into your home 3 times a week, which is always great, to assist you in areas where you might need that assistance. But when you're out into the community, how have you been able to acclimate yourself as someone who is blind and visually impaired to your surroundings?
Right. I definitely feel like here in Colombia, people are very generous with just their time, as in terms of like if I look lost or don't know where I'm going, like people will just instantly say, "Can I help you?" When I go into like the hospital or to a doctor's appointment, or I went into Walmart and I was trying to return something and I had no idea where I was going, but I was determined to do it on my own. And they were very gracious and made sure I got to the counter. So I feel like the people here are very helpful. And then just, I don't know, I'm okay with asking. Like, I guess I would say that about anywhere I'm at. So it doesn't take me very long to get things done. But of course, I'm still adjusting and trying to figure out what's available. And I went to this support group this past week. It's called Circle of Friends, that's here in Colombia, and it's at a church, at a Lutheran church, where visually impaired and blind individuals hang out once a month. They eat dinner and then they have like a short devotional, and then they just get to know each other. So I feel like just Learning what's out here and connecting with people is what's going to help me the most to feel acclimated and comfortable here.
And I love what you said earlier too, Jennifer. You know, as a social worker, and the people that you were able to assist, and those people, a lot of them you mentioned were adults. So those individuals, did you encounter some of those folks being blind or visually impaired?
I actually never had any clients who were visually impaired, nor did I run into any, which is kind of weird, but yeah.
Okay. Well, the reason why I was asking, because as a social worker, had you had that opportunity to be able to assist someone who was blind or visually impaired, you know, where did you get the resources to maybe help them and that kind of thing? That's kind of what I was leading up to. So are you kind of getting more acclimated to some of the resources that are available to those of us who are blind and visually impaired? We've already mentioned RSB, but there are quite a few other resources that are out there that are available to us. So how have you been able to acclimate yourself to some of those resources?
I mean, little by little, I guess, obviously, like connecting with you guys was my first step in terms of getting to connect with visually impaired people, and then also the resources. I feel like the convention was a huge help for me. I joined like the library that was there at the convention, as well as talked to, you know, the different tables. And so I feel like little by little, but I don't really feel like I've jumped into it fully. So I don't really know that I have. I would say maybe like 10-20% I have, but it takes a while to get to know the area as well as the resources. So yeah, I'm hoping that connecting with you guys and different people, I can get to know different resources. And I am huge on just resources in general. During grad school, I created my own resource guide that was electronic. So I'm definitely the type of person, when I hear about something, I take note of it and I make it into something that can help everybody.
I did the same thing when I was working at the Independent Living Center. I created my own resource guide, and of course they took it and were able to build off of it. So, but I was one that started, but mine was mainly for blind and visually impaired, but they took it and they built on it and increased it to include people with all different types of disabilities. But they were able to take what I had started and, like I just said, been able to build off of it. So the work that you've been able to do is really, I mean, you're in a lot of ways, Jennifer, and I'm sure Bev would agree, you're really fortunate having come from a background that you have with social work, because you know how mm-hmm. to go about acquiring the resources, even if you don't know what they are, but you do know how to go about acquiring some of those resources. So you do have that tremendous advantage coming from the background that you have in social work. So it's really good to hear how you've been able to come along. You may not really relish the position that you're in, but for all of us, and I know Bev would agree with this, a lot of us just simply a learning process that we all have to go through. Sometimes we can't get the answers other than just learning. And so I know it was that way for me. Much of what I've been able mm-hmm. to acquire, it was just going through this learning process. So how would you equate what you've been able to accomplish through this learning process that you've had to go through?
Yeah, so I mean, just in what you're saying, like I feel like not only my visual impairment, but just everything I've dealt with health-wise, I feel like it's a blessing, even though it's hard and most people would say, are you kidding me? That's a curse. To be able to empathize with people and to be able to advocate for everyone with disabilities, I feel like when you go through it yourself and it's firsthand experience, you're able to understand it better. I mean, yes, you can read books. Yes, you can do trainings. But if it's something that you've lived, I feel like you have the upper hand. And that's what I'm using my, you know, my second life for, in terms of, you know, kidney transplant, a second, you know, chance at life. I'm using it to help others. And so I could, you know, be sad about everything, but at the same time, I thank God every day that I'm able to experience what I've experienced. In July, I had a toxicity to my anti-rejection med, and I had a stutter, and that stutter, I saw the way people treated me when I was stuttering as if I couldn't talk for myself. And when I came out of it, when they changed my meds, I thought to myself, I'm going to make sure that I advocate for those who have a stutter, because it's one thing to experience it, but there's people who are living with it every day. And there are things that I couldn't do because of it. Like I went to an insurance place and they didn't have an ADA compliant person there who could help me in terms of me not being able to speak. And I was like, this is not right. Like someone could come in here without someone and they wouldn't be able to even articulate what they're saying, and they'd have nobody here to help them. So just being able to help in terms of advocacy and policies and procedures for those who are disabled, it's a lot easier when you have experienced it and you know what it's like.
Yeah, you bet. Well, I'm going to turn it over to Bev. I'm going to ask you this one last question here before I do turn it over to Bev. And that is, I know like with your siblings, you mentioned your three brothers and one sister. And a lot of this, believe it or not, you know, has to do with your adjusting to your blindness. So let me ask you, with your siblings, how well have they adjusted to your disabilities?
I feel like they're jokesters. So they do a lot of like just joking around, because they don't know how to handle it very well, but they're also the sweetest. Like, they'll make sure, you know, like, oh, are you okay? Can I take your arm? Make sure I'm safe. But I feel like, when people don't know how to handle it, going to humor is where they go. So at first it was a little kind of like, okay, knock it off. That's enough. But I don't know. I just realized, okay, I get it. It's new for them too. And it's probably scary for them, just like it was scary for me. And so that's the way that they deal with it.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much, Jennifer. We appreciate that. Bev, I'm going to pass it over to you.
Wow, she is my kind of girl. When I did this bus trip yesterday, you know, when I came with friends, I was holding her arm and we went to the bus, and the bus driver was standing right there, and she said to my friends, can she step up into the bus? And I said, yes, she can, and she can talk too.
And she can hear.
And so we just kind of laughed about it. And at the end of the day, my friend Phyllis, that was leading me around, she said, that statement you made was the biggest impact I had all day on this.
Yeah,
and I said, I hope I didn't sound rude. I didn't mean it to come off rude. She said, no, you were strong. You said you got your point across.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can see you doing the same thing, Jennifer. And, you know, at the beginning, when I was just low vision and I had three little girls and a husband and trying to take care of everything, and the vision got worse and worse, and I didn't know about any of the things, aids that would help me at all, until I totally lost my sight. So I've got this mission of getting out there and letting people know that there are things, tools, whatever, resources that will help them accept it a little bit better. So I bet you did the same thing. And I'm just so proud of you with everything you're doing so far.
Thank you.
Do you want to learn Braille, or have you started on that? Do you even
I looked at it and I tried it, and no, not really. Mm-hmm. I looked at it just out of like curiosity, but I didn't really have like this like passion to like learn it.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because it looks like it would take a long time.
You know, my middle daughter was in kindergarten, so she was learning to read print same time I was learning to read Braille. she started reading faster than I did. She would take the storybooks away from me. You know, I was so proud that I was reading storybooks to her. But it you know, at that time, too, we didn't have all the seeing AI or a lot of these things available to us either. So there's right. so much more now that I think will be very helpful. But I still do the Braille, and I'm very glad I can. We are here for you. And when you mentioned the circle of friends, is that is Gretchen Mounty in that, and Janelle Morris?
And yeah, Deanna Janelle Quietwater.
Was there. I don't think Gretchen was there.
Oh yes, Deanna Quietwater.
Yes.
Good, good. They will be a big help to you too. But we're here for you too. So. And moving to Missouri, I'm trying to get my friends in Illinois to move here, or even relatives. I said, I don't know how you handle the taxes in Illinois.
All right.
Yes. So we're so glad you're in here.
Yep.
What about hobbies? What kind of hobby do you have?
I like, first and foremost, I probably feel like music is my hobby. I do a lot of like Christian rap music, and I write my own stuff and perform. So that's first and foremost. I also like art stuff. I actually gave up drawing, like sketching, but one of my friends, she kind of talked me into going back into it, but it was because I was discouraged with losing my vision. But we just kind of said, you know, I can still do it. It'll just look different, and that's okay. So that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
I like anything that's related to art, musical instruments. I love to cook. So I do have the person that comes 3 times a week, cut and slice everything for me. And then I have good lighting in my kitchen, so I can still do stuff like that. And then I also bought these really cool gloves that are cut proof as well. So that helps a lot. Yeah.
You know, I listened to an introduction from this lady. I'm trying to think of what her name was. Something Erickson. She was on the Veterans Tech Time. The Blind Kitchen, I think, is the name of her app. She's got products, too, for in the kitchen. The gloves. I want to get one of these little pour spout thing that you tip it over and it'll just measure out 1 tablespoon. Don't you just love measuring cooking oil? But if it would just pour out 1 tablespoon, that would be very helpful. So we've got resources and we just got to put our heads together and share.
That's right.
Yes. And I just love this. Don't you, Chip?
I did too.
Hearing what all she's doing too.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, Bev, and Jennifer, Bev has a peer support group on the third Monday of every month. You ought to call in. I think you could be a tremendous asset to that call on the third Monday of every month. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll give you I'll text you that number. Do you have email too?
Yes, I have email as well.
Okay. We'll talk about that and get your email address.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it. And she loves to. Chip. You ought to hear Chip sing. He can sing.
We should do a song together, Chip.
Hey, there you go. I would love it. I would love it. I tell you, Jennifer, I do with a friend of mine, I do a weekly internet radio program, a 90-minute internet radio program every week. We do a lot of Southern country and bluegrass gospel music. And we've been doing it now for about 10 years, and we really enjoy it. Let's you and I get together and let's just kind of rock and roast with some gospel music and just have a great old time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
This is great. Look how much we learn about with Meet the People and share these things. Mm-hmm. I just love it, and I will stay in touch with you, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. So, Jennifer, how did you get familiar or acquainted with MCB? What was the first moment that you learned about the Missouri Council of the Blind?
Just a Google search, actually. I just wanted to know what was available in the Missouri, in the Columbia, Missouri area, and your agency pulled up, as well as the National Federation for the Blind. And so I reached out to both agencies, and I saw the convention on your guys' page, and I filled out the form for the first timers who wanted to come to it, and I ended up getting a call to come to it, so I tried it out. So basically, I mean, with all due respect, it was honestly just a trial. Like, you know, what is this all about?
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's what I love listening to her, Bev, her taking the initiative.
Yeah.
You know, just not sitting back, you know, living alone, saying, oh, woe is me. I can't do this. I can no longer see. I've had this heart condition. I'm a diabetic and have all these different challenges, health issues that she has to learn how to be able to take care of herself. But yes, she takes the initiative, you know, to find out what resources are out there. And she discovered there's the Missouri Council of the Blind. There's the National Federation of the Blind of Missouri. And so she's learning, you know, so that's really great. And she got to be one of our first timers this year at our 68th annual state convention held there at the Hilton Garden Inn in Independence. So, and I tell you, Jennifer, we were just so tickled and thrilled to have you there. We were very pleased that you were awarded a first timer. So what, tell us, what did you think about the convention?
Yeah. Besides the fire alarm.
besides the fire alarm.
We all see what pajamas everybody wears.
Right. Yeah. What everybody's hair looks like early in the morning. Yeah.
And I was like, come on, I'm on the fourth floor. This has to be a joke.
Yeah, oh, my gosh, I was too.
But Jennifer, I was on the sixth floor, and everybody got out except for me. And I'm left up there all by myself, you know. So I get that feeling, yeah.
Well, thank God nothing happened.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But I liked the fact that there were so many avenues to like understand the agency from kind of like the back end of it, in terms of like policies and bylaws and different things like that. So I thought that was pretty cool. I feel like I definitely understand the agency from that perspective, which for me is a big deal, because I'm kind of like a geek when it comes to policies and procedures.
Yeah.
So I like that. And then just meeting different people, that was really, really great as well. The fellowship was nice. And of course, like, I mean, it's not a negative thing, but I definitely like, I want to like see if I can get on the board to like, or like a, not the board, but a group to kind of help with the convention in general, with the fellowship part of it and the community part of it, so that people can connect a little better, mm-hmm. because it is at a big hotel where everyone's kind of in their own groups and a little disconnected. But I think it would be good to be able to create just different breakout sessions or times where people can get together and just get to know each other.
Oh, that would be awesome. So, Bev, what we need to do is to get to introduce her to Brandy Jones, our convention committee chair. So that would really be great. I love what the ideas that she just shared with us. Sometimes we just, you know, some of us are kind of very well experienced. We've been in this place where we're at with our vision loss and everything, and we forget about maybe some of the folks that are newly blind and what they're experiencing. So I love your idea, Jennifer. We will get you acquainted with our convention committee chair, Brandy Jones, and you'll be able to share your ideas with her.
Awesome. And I know it's like part of it is also, I'm not like connected to an actual affiliate, so that makes a difference when you're going to a convention, because people are coming as like affiliates, like groups. So, I mean, I understand that as well. Like, I don't think it's not like someone's like fault, but it's just one of those things that I noticed.
Yeah.
So I was
like,
oh, this would be cool if we could connect.
Go ahead, Bev.
Sorry, Tip. Convention, it is so jam-packed of different things. Someone said, we'll have to get together in the downtime. I looked at it, there's downtime? You know?
Yeah.
There is no time to sleep. But I wanted to get out and meet all the first-timers, too, but there was just no time.
Right.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So we will. But, you know, there's also summer camp program. This is a good one for you to meet people on a relaxed session and just get to know others. We can sit on the porch and just share, how'd you get that bruise? Oh, I ran into a wall. Well, I did too, but my nose got it. You know, there was a lady that was here in St. Charles area, and she moved to Columbia. And some of those ladies there in Columbia Circle of Friends will remember Mary Mellis. She'd probably be about 100 years old now if she was still alive. But she came to camp one time and she said, you know, I sit up here on the porch and I watch all these sightless people run off the sidewalk, fall in the bushes, and they just get up and keep going.
Yeah.
And I go, well, yeah, what do you want them to do?
That would be me because I'm always like running into stuff. And then I'm like, oh, well, it'll happen again tomorrow.
Yes, that's right.
Well, Bev, what was the lady's name that you had there at camp that really loves summer camp? What was her name there? Lives there in Columbia?
Karen Heffernan.
Yeah. We need to introduce Jennifer to Karen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. See all these connections that we
It's exciting for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Jennifer, let me ask you, we don't have a whole lot of time remaining. I wish we could just sit here and talk all afternoon, but what is there about Jennifer Motes that nobody really knows except for those that are really closest to you, your family, maybe some really close friends, you would like to share with our listening audience, something that you wouldn't mind sharing? It doesn't have to be anything all really personal or anything, but share with us something that maybe unique to yourself.
Probably a lot of people don't know that I was a 4-H dill pickle maker, and I went to the state fair with my pickles, as well as I made my own shorts, and I was in the sorry, I'm laughing because it's like me, 4-H, I'm such a city girl, but I was in a fashion show with the shorts that I made for 4-H.
I was in 4-H too.
Oh my gosh.
It's the Illinois thing.
It is. And when I came to Missouri, I wanted my daughters to be in 4-H. All I could find was Girl Scouts. It took me a lot of digging, but I finally found 4-H for them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you,
Sorry,
Jennifer.
Tip.
No problem. But thank you, Jennifer, for sharing that with us. I think that's incredible stuff.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
I always, when I say that, I'm in my head, I'm like, please don't ask me how the pickles tasted, because that's a different story. They don't taste them. They just look at them.
I don't know if either one of you remember Andy Griffith's show where Aunt B made these terrible pickles. And Andy and Barney, and I love what they called it, because they did not like Aunt B's pickles. So Andy says, they're going to go get some store-bought pickles and put them in the jars that Aunt B had, and because she was going to enter in this contest. And so called it Operation Pickle Switch. And I thought, oh, wow, that's great. So, oh, my gosh. Operation Pickle Switch. Okay. All right.
Everybody's gone through it, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah.
It made me feel better.
Yeah. So, Jennifer, Do you have, I know you're, still considered newly blind. You're still adjusting. You're still experiencing some things, challenges and everything. What words of encouragement would you have for someone? And we do have people that are members of the Missouri Council of the Blind, our organization. What words of encouragement would you have for those individuals that may be just going through what you're going through, maybe not quite to the same level, but yet what words of wisdom or encouragement would you like to be able to share with them?
I would just say be okay with being yourself. Like if you are having a bad day or if you feel like it stinks being visually impaired or blind, then just feel it and sit in it for a while and process it and don't try to act like you have to be, happy all the time or fake like everything's all good, but just be yourself. And then also, I always just tell people find the value in it. Like there's value in everything we go through, good and bad, and if you can find the value in it, then you'll learn from it and you'll just live life better.
Yeah, that would be great.
Wow.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah.
Wasn't that great?
Yes, it was. Thank you,
You're
Jennifer. Appreciate it.
welcome.
All right.
Of
So,
course.
but Jennifer, thank you so much for being our special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB. It's been absolutely marvelous. It's been wonderful having you on. You're just such a delight to interview. And Bev was right at the very onset that this is going to be an easy interview because there was just such a flow in the discussion conversation we've had today. So again, thank you, Jennifer, for being our special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB.
And thank you for having me. You guys have a great day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Bev and I to interview, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden or Bev at 636-561-6947.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to Meet the People of MCB with Chip Haley and Beverly Cascaden. Bye-bye for now.
Goodbye.